The epistle is from Paul's letter to the church at Rome, the 6th chapter. Brothers, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you agree? Most do not. God says that sin is not to be thought of like some inanimate object. His apostle, St. Paul, in today's epistle, paints sin as a king. It's a master with many employees or soldiers under his command. So also remember what the Lord said to Cain when his offering was not accepted and his face was downcast. God said that sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you, that is, to take charge of you, to be your authority. But you must rule over it. Jesus said likewise, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. God said that no one is born free of this master. Everyone is in the employ of boss sin. And he pays and rewards his employees, but with this kind of wage, death. Most people, though, disagree with God on that. They don't believe that sin masters people. They actually believe that sin is part and parcel of freedom. I mean, sinning is the opposite of a law, isn't it? Laws that restrain us and prevent freedom. If there is no law but my own, well then I'm free to follow my dreams, to go after my desires, to do what I want. Only death can stand in the way of that, which of course is God's point. But most disagree with God there too. They say that sin has nothing to do with death. Death is natural. Death is even just a part of life. Some also try to say that the wages of God is death. They say this especially when tragedy strikes. How can God allow this to happen? They ask this as if we were the free ones and God were a cruel master, the one who should come under our judgment. Most people also disagree with God on the second part of that great statement, too. They disagree with God when he talks about eternal life. They think that the road to heaven is paved by their own good deeds. Whenever the question is asked about heaven, about eternal life, about why should God love you? Most people have an answer. And the answer was some variation of, well, because I. Because I have been pretty good. Because I go to church. Because I try to do this or that. They do not agree with the very key word of that sentence, that the free gift God is eternal life. and they end up making God into the same sort of slave owner as boss sin. But God is one who pays out earned wages. And they say, if there is eternal life, I'm sure that I am worthy. I'm sure that I've earned it. God will understand. No, the wages of sin is death. But not the wages, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Do you agree? Well, dear Christians, if you do agree, then know that it is a great miracle. It is no less a miracle than to bring bread enough for 4,000 out of 7 loaves, or to bring light out of nothing and a whole world with it, or, much more to the point, to bring a living creature out of the dust of the earth, as we heard in the Old Testament with Adam. I, too, believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe. It is the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the Lord and giver of life, who has breathed this agreement with God into you. He has changed your thinking, and daily continues to change it. That is, he has brought you into the life of repentance. Because the word repentance in the Bible is a change of thinking. The scriptures teach that repentance has two parts. The first part is the terrors that strike the conscience through the knowledge of sin. But repentance is also faith that is born of the gospel and believes that for Christ's sake, sins are forgiven. And out of this, good works are bound to follow, which are the fruits of such repentance. Now, you and I usually use that word repentance very narrowly to mean just a contrition, just recognizing and acknowledging and being sorry for and fleeing your sin. But the Bible also uses the word repentance broadly to speak about the entire life that is indicated by baptism, the entire change of thinking that is wrought by the Holy Spirit. And that includes faith. It includes trust in Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of those known sins and for eternal life. Now, it's quite a change and a difference from the world to agree with God that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. You do not believe that we are simply born to die. You do not believe YOLO, you only live once, so do as you please. You believe that God breathed into Adam not the breath of death, but the breath of life. He became not a slowly but steadily dying soul, but he originally was made a living creature. So are we. And yet, the wages of sin, his and ours, certainly is death, an unnatural thing. God is constantly calling this to your mind, dear saints, through his law. Whenever we choose our own way, whenever we seize at God's place and throw out his word, as Adam and Eve did when they broke the command that we heard repeated in today's Old Testament reading, what are we doing? What are we breaking out into some great freedom? Are we cheating death by this? Hardly. That sort of freedom, the freedom that boss sin gives, is a freedom only from righteousness. That is to say, it's lawlessness, and that leads always to more lawlessness. Living life for yourself is what leads to all kinds of impurity. And the fruit that it bears, the wages that it will pay out,
are all of that rotten stuff that leads to death. How can we, who have already died to such rottenness through Christ and through holy baptism, imagine that we can now continue to go on living in it? No, it's quite a change. It's quite a difference from the world to agree with God that yes, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Sinners, they die for their sin. We all earn it, to put it in a human way. But that is why the death of Jesus is such a wonderful event. I mean, it couldn't have been for his own sin that he died, because he committed no sin. No, it was for our sins that he died. While we were yet sinners, while we were out there earning away, Christ died for you, divorcing you from your rightly earned paycheck, taking the death penalty into himself, purchasing and winning us from boss sin for true freedom at the price of his innocent life. It was not our efforts that could earn such a salvation. It was his own precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, all so that we may be his, to live under him in his kingdom, as servants to righteousness that leads not to death, but to sanctification. Christ is constantly refreshing this blessed comfort to you through the preaching of this gospel. Now, this change of thinking that the Bible calls repentance, this is an ongoing change of thinking. That's why disciples of Jesus do not simply hear his word once and then go away self-satisfied. No, Jesus says, if you are my disciples, you abide, you remain, you stick in my word. It's worth our noticing in today's gospel that the Lord Jesus does not punish those who listen to his word. He never does. He never punishes those who listen to his word with a repentant ear. He does not let those crowds of people who have followed, hanging on his every word, listening to his preaching so intently that they wandered for 3 days out into the middle of the desert and got themselves so far away that there was no food to get them back. He did not leave them to starve. No, he makes the point to say he has compassion on such crowds. It's a dramatic demonstration and a clever twist on this scripture, that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Or, to quote the psalm, they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now, it's not our inclination to believe this, especially, it seems, when the Sunday morning alarm is going off. Was it for no reason that Isaiah wrote that God's ways are not our ways, that his thinking is not our thinking? No surprise, then, no miracle either, that most people stick with their own thinking. Shouldn't be surprising to us, maybe, that it seems like more of the pews are empty than they are full. Most people do not think like God thinks, and they do not change their thinking either. They do not imagine themselves in need of any free gift, nor do they grasp the magnitude of the wages of their sin. But they view the right to choose highest of all, which is to say, the right to choose to sin. They view this as their great freedom. And thus, they expect God is going to reward them for every time they refrain from making such a bad choice. But not you, dear saints. You do not live in the delusion that you must do something to earn the grace of eternal life. Do not think that coming here on a Sunday morning is something you are doing to earn the grace of eternal life. No, grace is, just as the word says, it is gratuitous. It is undeserved. And it comes by a free promise. And that's what you're here for. You're here to receive and to hear a free promise, a gift. Thus, when you hear the word of God, you are going to be like those 4,000 men, the ones who were hanging on Jesus and his preaching in Mark. The law leads you to see the wilderness everywhere, the ancient place of rebellion and evil, things that bring no fruit and that bear no life. They are lawless. It's like the Old West. And from that old way of thinking, you, dear baptized Christians, you have been released through the waters of holy baptism and through Christ crucified. And yet, when you hear the law of God, again you are warned, and again you are rebuked, and again you are instructed. You see where and how you are creeping back into those desolate places again. Back under the domain of boss sin. And God's Spirit, thanks be to God, is working his change of thinking in you again. As the gospel of free forgiveness is set out like a feast in the middle of the desert. A free gift. A rescue. Therefore, dear saints, present yourselves no more as servants of boss sin and his way of thinking. Present yourselves rather as servants of the one who has become your servant. Because his lordship is measured in compassion. He gives rescue. He gives forgiveness. He gives life as a free gift to you. And to serve, humanly speaking, in his kingdom is nothing like the slavery of sin. It is to live as a son and as an heir. Present yourselves to the righteousness that does not come from the law, but that comes from the gospel. Not earned like wages, but received as a free gift of God in Christ. For this way of thinking leads constantly out of the wilderness of sin and into satisfaction in the gospel. That is, into sanctification. The holiness which God alone is and has and can bestow, which he is giving to you as a free gift. And the end of it, giving you eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts in Christ Jesus.
Amen.